And welcome back to episode 101 of the Black Watch Report. I'm your host, Thorn Rain. With me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How you doing this evening, sir?
Pretty good. It's been weird, slow, tired days. Like, I've noticed that in the summertime, like, the hotter it gets, and it hit triple digits this last week, so we're already in the swing of things. I just get like so unmotivated. Like, I haven't been playing that many games, and even if I do play games, it's like Civilization, where I'm just like kind of relaxing and just like one hand clicking on a mouse while like half asleep. And it's just it's those days are upon us, man. It's just like motivation's dropping. And so I'm like, every day I had to like come to watch one match of Contenders, because like I needed to watch five matches. And so I think starting Monday, I'm like, oh, just one match. We're gonna watch one match. And we're not like skip through some slow bets here and there. And then like we have like two or three map fives. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yep. Are you serious? I need to watch so many maps right now. And I'm like, just getting the one match was like kind of a slog. And so now looking at how many matches we like, oh my gosh, dude, wait till we get into this. When like we talk about all the matches we watched, and then even the matches we didn't watch, we skipped the whole tiebreaker tournament. I haven't watched any of the playoffs yet. I think all four matches were streamed as well for NA.
Yeah, they split them up between Friday, Saturday.
There were five matches that we watched from week four playoffs. I'm just like, holy crap, I'm not watching 11 matches and reporting on them. Like, we're gonna pick and choose here.
And like I was saying in the pre-show, with me being on second, my sleep schedule's so jacked. Like, I have so little time to do anything remotely for myself between trying to find sleep, trying to do stuff at the house, and then going to work until almost midnight five nights a week. It's, like, so difficult to try to, like, keep up on the matches right now. But I do like the format for playoffs. Like, we're going to get, like, two matches a night.
Yep.
Friday and Saturday for, like, the next 4 weeks. Like, for NA. So that's super cool. Your suggestion, I downloaded Stardew Valley. And good God, am I having fun with it. I did. When I first saw the game, I was like, this doesn't even remotely look like fun, because I thought it was just 100% like a farming simulator type thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not. Like, I picked the chick that I'm starting to woo to make my wife. I'm going down.
Is it Abigail?
Yes, it is. How did you know?
That's funny, dude. That's hilarious.
She quite literally has the exact same hair color as my wife sitting upstairs right now. So it was like, this all makes sense. Like, this is perfect. You're digging down into the cave, you know, I got my barn going, I got my coop going, like,
it's bro, fine, wait till you, there's some, it gets tilting, bro. Wait till you get the slime caves and the, oh my gosh, like, there are some times where I've gotten probably more mad playing Stardew at times than I have playing, like, Overwatch or whatever, just because, oh man, chain CCs are an issue sometimes, and that game has some issues with it, and so,
oof. I've come across one slime cave, and it was literally, I was trying to get down as far as I could before my day ended, mm-hmm. and that was, like, my fourth cave, and it just instantly took up the whole day, and I was like, well, I gotta push at least one more so I can get to an elevator, and called it a day, and did almost nothing the whole day. It was horrible. But this isn't a Stardew Valley podcast.
Not yet.
If I keep playing it the way that I've been playing it, it might become a Stardew Valley podcast. Here's your farmer's report.
Yeah, right.
as always, the news is brought to you by our patrons. Oh, no, wait. I have a whole list of new Twitch follows that I forgot to write into the show notes, so I'm going to go through them really quick. We got Zero to Hero, Viper OW, Static OW, ZSR Shadow, Venom, Zombie, Hazardrano, Yo-Yo, 0626, Spork 27, TV Pollux, Nick Elysian, Tavern Tales, and Smog 5. Thank you for the follows. We do really appreciate that. Now, we're going to head down into our news. Our news is brought to you by our Patreon. Do you want to sponsor the news? Head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreport. Become a Patreon at the $2 level, and you can sponsor our news section. This week's sponsor is none other than Mr. 21 Months himself, Mr. Shrugoff. Thank you so much, buddy. Kyle, take us away.
So, in the news, this... Oh, gosh, I'm so far down on the notes. Okay, there we go. We're back. We're good. The team that, despite everyone's hopes and dreams and beliefs, is still running, Uprising Academy. Against all odds, they just continue to trudge through the trenches of Overwatch contenders and trials. Making more changes, as always. Uprising Academy has parted ways with Frosted and Rhino. Rhino, I believe, was like 14 as a main tank. So, interesting, you know, switch-ups here. Brought in False from Karasuno. So, they are running with Crandop and False as their tank line. When was Crandop even added? Oh, he was added in 2019, so he's been there a hot minute. Mm-hmm. He was just kind of not playing, I believe. So they have made some interesting changes, but as we'll discuss later, didn't do enough.
Yeah, and kind of staying on the Uprising topic here, they did also pick up Mikey.
That's over Uprising Nova. Proper, not Academy, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Uprising signed Mikey from Team Noble. Again, Uprising kind of picks weird picks. I mean, Mikey's fine, but
yeah,
it just seems like there could have been a better choice. But congratulations on joining.
He might have been. I think they might have said something about he's also like a New England native as well, so maybe that's part of it as well. They had a little bit of localization, even though nothing is local at the moment. But nothing, as we'll discuss later, there's some other main tank options that I feel like I like. Yes, I think Mikey's fine. I think he's like a talented player, but from what I've seen, I think that there maybe are some much more obvious answers.
Specifically, one we're going to be talking about a lot today, because
yeah,
it's a shame.
Yeah. Another note, and I think a lot of these have already been known because we did take a week off because there weren't any matches and we were still figuring out schedule stuff, is Shockwave. So he played on Square One for like a week or two, and then went to Raspberry Racers for a week or two, and then basically went straight to the Titans. This guy's kind of following moderately in the footsteps of IM37, and like he's just... was on the scene. I think the first time we mentioned his name was like 3 shows ago, maybe 4 or 5. So like not even like February, I think he was kind of already on the radar, like from nowhere, and then has already made it to Overwatch League. And not only that, but is also doing quite well. I think he's beginning to create some statistical anomalies for the Vancouver Titans as well, even despite the team's lack of success. I think this is an interesting pickup. I think we've already seen it to be pretty beneficial for Vancouver, but it always is good to see kind of a lights out nuts player just kind of get the recognition they deserve pretty quickly.
And he was one of those players that first match that we saw him play in, like we instantly noticed him as a standout player for Square One. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I like it. Let's give Vancouver a little bit of time to get everybody gelling. They got the 2-week off period. Maybe they can build a little bit of synergy, get the guys working together a little bit better. But another quick call-up, Zeke joining the Toronto Defiant on a 2-week contract. We're seeing a couple of those. This COVID time has got things a little messed up, so the Overwatch League is running with these 2-week contracts. Hopefully it turns into something a little bit... more permanent for Zeke going into Toronto there.
Yep. Next note here is British Hurricane head coach Unter joins the LA Valiant in probably one of the best ways possible. He got a porn star to record a video of him saying that he's going to come and
go
deep. Do stuff at the competition, and a lot of innuendos. I thought was hilarious. It was just kind of like, I didn't know we needed this in our lives, but it's just, I miss the, like when, who was it that bought like the video of people talking about the Wonder Kid sugar free or whatever, like stuff like that was just perfect. Like, there's just so funny to just like buy weird advertising videos from people just to announce silly things like that. So like, it also should be noted that Unter has incredible coaching credit so far.
Yes.
If you look as a coach, he literally went from Blank Order, Ground Zero Gaming as a player, I mean, and then as a coach, he retired in February, started working for British Hurricane. Contenders 2020 season, week one, first, week two, first, week three, first, week four, first. Then got called up to the LA Valiant. I think when you go perfect with a team over 4 weeks in like what, 12 or 16 matches, like,
yeah,
something's working, especially considering I think they had some kind of struggles in the past before.
Yeah, I mean,
there was the British Hurricane, they were up and down quite a bit,
like down deep in trials, and mm-hmm. they turned it around, and then Unter comes in and goes absolutely perfect for 2020. Yeah, he deserves the call up.
Yeah. So definitely a well deserved. Like this week, we got a lot of really well deserved call ups and changes, and like everyone who did get an Overwatch League contract, except for one, that was yesterday, was incredibly well deserved. So I think that, you know, like we've been talking about Zeke for a long time. Playing for Square on Third Impact and being incredible. Unter as well, Shockwave, like all of these were like really well deserved call ups, so glad to see it.
Definitely. And then Karasuno with a little bit of new logo and branding, added niche main tank coming over from Scion Esports. We saw Scion, you know, looking pretty good coming through open, playing through trials. Solid team. So, of course, teams that need to fill spots are going to look to them to, you know, kind of fill those holes. And niche being the first one that we see getting the call to a pretty locked in contenders team. Like their mm-hmm. Karasuno is being trials contenders pretty consistently. So good for Mitch.
Yep. And then lastly, this is kind of where the episode title comes from. Revival is Overwatch's loan shark. Revival loans out Razor to Third Impact to fill the spot of Zeke, and then Aspire to Triumph. I forget who he was filling in for. I think, yeah, I didn't quite say. I think they just needed an extra person. They have four DPS to the Triumph, so I think they just realized that Revival was basically out. They did not have a great season, missed playoffs, and so because of that, they just wanted to get their players playtime somewhere.
Yep. And then the last bit of news. Oh, no, that is the last bit of news. Thought we had one more. We are going to roll right down into the quick play here. We are going to be covering NA Contenders Week 4. So, Kyle, why don't you take the top half down into the finals, and I'll take the bottom half.
Cool. So, for Contenders, we had Team Malibu, which is unheard of? Who is Malibu? Were they someone else, or did they just come through trials? I think they came.
I think Malibu took the spot of Sky Foxes.
That makes sense.
Double check while you're going through this. Let's see.
They weren't Golden Gophers, were they? Or was that someone else? I don't know.
They have nothing listed.
Yeah, okay, well. But it says Golden Gophers affiliated. So I think it might have been Golden Gophers. I don't know. Whatever. So Team Malibu takes on Karasuno. Karasuno takes the 3-1 lead. Or takes a 3-1 victory over them. Uprising Academy actually takes down Hype Unit. A 3-0. Hype Unit used to be Coke Gaming, for those of you uninitiated. Team Doge comes in, knocks out Karasuno 3-1, and then Triumph comes in, knocks out Uprising Academy 3-0. Thank
you, Triumph.
Thank you. Then Team Doge takes down Triumph in a 3-2 victory, leaving Team Doge into the finals for the week.
And on the bottom half of the bracket, we saw Dark Mode Esports going up against Square One, taking down Square One 3-0. Odyssey beating the Saints 3-1. That sets up second win versus Dark Mode, second win doing second win things, 3-0 Dark Mode. And then Third Impact, obviously going to 3-0 Odyssey because they're just a tear through contenders right now in NA. So that sets up the second win, Third Impact matchup, and Third Impact in a pretty good match. Take the win, 3-2 over second win, setting up that final Team Doge versus Third Impact, and Third Impact get the 3-0. It was interesting to watch. But Third Impact did everything correct. Like it was pretty nuts. So we're gonna start off with Kyle's gonna start off with, because I did not watch these two. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a tired old man.
You weren't missing much. They were kind of stinkers. On the side of Saints, we have Hazard, whose Tracer was pretty... We saw a lot of Tracer action this last week. A lot of Tracer, a lot of Ashe, a lot of Echo. Those were kind of the mainstays that we saw. Hazard in particular showed up pretty well. Some good Pulse Bombs, 2Ks on Anubis. Aether's Doomfist... I wrote Doomfist twice. So Aether was kind of a projectile player that we've been up and down on for quite a while. He's had a lot of really big performances and then kind of fell off the face of the earth. His Echo is fell off the face of the earth. His Doomfist is absolutely incredible. And so it kind of goes to show that if you don't have a really competent Echo on your team, you will not do well. And that's kind of what happened here. Panic does get some good plays here and there as well. But on the side of Odyssey, you have Dynasty, who was definitely just on every corner out echoing Aether. And then they did have Rhino in and swapped for Faded once or twice. I don't think it was the best. I think the one map they ended up switching Rhino in for, I think that they lost, and then they went and won from there on, something along those lines. I'm never a huge fan of swapping out kind of essential pieces unless you are a team like San Francisco Shock that, like, it doesn't, there's no discernible difference between skill between like a main tank that will play Orisa and Winston or a main tank that will play Reinhardt for maps like that. But like, for the most part, if you're a tier two, tier three team, you're just not going to have the same results.
Yeah.
Maybe swap in a DPS if you need something for a map, but like at a certain point, you're kind of just working on getting the synergy started out. You don't want to be swapping too much. And then Uprising Academy losing to Triumph 3-0. Some better plays on Anubis, but like Nepal was just a stomp that got completely demolished. Milky Man, specifically when he was able to use the Rein matchup, would just be dunking on everyone, and N2S using the Mei as well was just able to decimate this team. So this felt like the Uprising that we know and love, just getting absolutely dumpstered by Triumph, who is, I think, a top five team in contenders, but they were never one of the top two. And so losing this handedly to a non-top two to top three team, not a great look for the only team in the region who is paying their players significantly and has any clear line up to Overwatch League. I think there's other paid orgs, but like not Academy orgs.
Yeah, not tied to Overwatch League teams. Uprising Academy gave me a scare. with their run through trials, and then the win in quarterfinals, I was sitting at work, refreshing Twitter, praying that they would at some point lose, because we made that stupid bet. And Triumph really really helped us out there. I appreciate that. I'm going to forever do that, because it was stupid of me to even think that snorting wasabi would have been a great idea. I've seen Steve-O do it. It's not good. But that leads us into the semifinals and the finals matchups here. So we've got Team Doge going up against Triumph. Team Doge taking it to the max here. We got Team Doge 3-2 over Triumph. That's one of those five-game matches you were talking about. So
yep.
Start us off here, Kyle.
Man, like they're starting to slip a little bit. Hashtag stomped, not as much anymore. No more stomps. They didn't even stomp Karasuno. They're letting up a lot of maps, more than we would like to see. It's hard to tell exactly what the issue is. I think part of it is Kevstra on the Echo. In this particular case, he was able to win the Echo matchup. I think later on it starts to get a little bit shakier, but I think in this particular matchup versus Triumph, who was might have been N2S who was playing the Echo, definitely not as skilled as Echo as he is at May. His May walls were really, really good.
Yes.
Really setting up huge plays. But definitely just not up to par on the Echo. Kevster definitely won that matchup here. You do have a couple of notes on both of these two players I mentioned, actually, don't you?
Yeah, just real quick on Kevster. When it came to Kevster playing on the Echo, the big difference that I saw, basically through all of the matches where we saw Echo being played, is Kevster knew who to copy in what situation. It was never the always Reinhardt, always Monkey. Like, there was one point where we saw him copy a Tracer, which I think was the only one that was slightly questionable, but then when you look at it, that was on Ilios Lighthouse. There was no one grouped up. They were trying to stagger overtime, so he needed a character that was quick, that could chase people down and get around angles quick enough to stop the stagger of the overtime. So he took the Tracer. Made absolute sense. We saw him take the May to isolate on Anubis point B, basically cutting off 75% of point B, again, stopping a stagger. We saw him go on to a Lucio to farm a quick beat when the team was in a long team fight. So I think what puts Kevster above some of the other people we see playing Tracer in NA contenders is he's got the quick decision making to pick which character will best suit the team as a whole in that moment, instead of just going with the I go monkey rage throw people. Like, yeah. You see that a lot.
Do a really subpar looking juggle with the Primal Rage, because yep. I'm not a main tank.
Because you're not a main tank. We saw a couple of those in these matches where it was like, you moved one person two times as Monkey. What are you doing? Why did you take Monkey? You could have went Brig and provided Rally and would have been better. But yeah, I think Kevster just, he has the ability to pick something he can play at a decent level, because I don't think we saw any of his Echoes not look good when he picked another character. Built Shatters quickly, built Fluxes quickly. I don't even think he used a Pulse Bomb on the Tracer. He just literally was blinking and hunting. So, but then just over, my only note on Triumph was, Triumph looked a million times better when they were the aggressor. When we talk about Mecha Base, the reason their holds were working is they were taking the holds deep into Team Doge's, the staging area, right? They weren't at the spawn. They weren't spawn camping, but they weren't afraid to go deeper into that side of the map. And then on King's Row, any time that they gave Team Doge any amount of space to initiate the fights themselves, they would lose. So Triumph then stopped doing that and initiated all of their fights, whether it was with N2S's walls cutting off a sight line, which then forced Doge into a different angle, which they already had prepared and locked down. I think Triumph is one of those teams where they need to play more aggressive and stop letting teams play into them and just play into the teams. Because whenever they did it during this match, it worked out for them, and it worked out really well, especially on King's Row. They did really well on King's Row.
Yeah, and then kind of looking at the two hitscan DPS players here, Oni God on Ashe was super duper solid, specifically on Anubis, which I believe that they won. And then on the other side, Hydron with specifically the McCree pick. I remember a lot of plays, I think, on King's Row where he really showed that he was really solid. I think specifically not even just with shots, but with dead eyes and flank. So more in the tactics and less in the aim is where Hydron really kind of shone through. But definitely a super talented player here. Very, I think, cerebral player. Not just, you know, all aim, no brain. A lot of brain here on this player, so always good to see that. And then on the side of Team Doge, not quite the performance that he had last week or 2 weeks ago or last Contenders week. OG had some pretty big plays here, but definitely not as impactful. I think he did have a pretty big boop onto the enemy Brig on Ilios. That was quite a turning point for this team. But it's not like he didn't have the absolute insane performance that he did in past weeks.
Yeah. And then my last note on Doge is it's a little cheeky thing. I like finding the little quirky things that happen in a match. At the end of Ilios Well, the D.Va is coming in trying to get onto the point to stop overtime or to continue overtime. And instead of like just outright murdering him, because literally all of Team Doge is standing there, they just literally form a wall and body block the D.Va and push him away from the point to win the map. And it was just one of those hilarious things where just everybody stood there. It's like, nope, you're not going through. But that's going to set up the next matchup here. We've got Third Impact versus Second Wind. Third Impact taking this 3-2. This was actually a really, really good matchup. So, Kyle, why don't you take us away? I thought I had more notes. Let me find that.
So this Second Wind team, Second Wind, Third Impact, love me some numbers. This Second Wind team is, just for the reminder, is made up of Iced, Speedily, Caden, Higen, Frill, Juby, and Ultraviolet. Frill on main tank, as a former DPS player. This is a scrappy team, man, and they are looking quite a bit better. Specifically, Speedily, I think he was the better Echo player here. Also had a swap to Torb late on Havana. Builds the Molten Core super fast, clutches out the fight, kind of wins it for him. So big play here from him. On the side of Razor, on the side of Third Impact, Razor definitely feels like a substitute player coming in from another team, playing as kind of a mercenary here for him. Mechanics are definitely solid. Mechanics are there. He's doing great plays. We'll talk about him a little bit more next match in terms of upsides. But in this matchup, there was some cracks in the armor showing on his side, specifically with ult usages. Definitely felt very out of sync with his team. Was popping the duplication matrix after a fight had already been lost, and he was like the last person left on the team on the point. Just a lot of like weird out of sync plays that we saw that are definitely indicative of a player that was not been playing with this roster for more than a week. So,
and how I mentioned Kevster having the smart choices on who he duplicated, it was the exact opposite with Riser. He was the one that chose Monkey. Like you said, the whole team was dead. He went Monkey, built an alt, and juggled one person in a losing fight. And then he would just copy just random heroes, it seemed like, and wouldn't get too much value almost ever out of the duplicates in this matchup. So it was like night and day between watching the Kevster matchup earlier when he was on Echo and then watching Riser. I do agree, Speedily in the heads up wins the Echo battle here. Obviously didn't help win the match, but Speedily definitely looked better here.
Yeah. And then I put a, for those of you who are listening, I put a DM in our Blackwatch Report chat. I'm like, we need to do a Blackwatch Report most wanted list as soon as these playoffs are over, because there's some certain players that, like, we need to kind of put on a podium here as, like, great players to pick up, because holy crap, is Tayo having, like, a golden age right now on so many different picks. His McCree is top-notch. We knew his Tracer was top-notch as well, but he's continuing to show that. The Ashe pick is always great from him. And then playing, when they have played a little bit, is kind of the Korean Sombra dive or Korean Echo dive. It's much more apparently common in Korea than we have seen any in NA at this point. I think this is the first time I actually saw it in NA. The Sombra Echo dive, getting the big EMPs into the main tank dive, specifically with Winston from DCOD, absolutely phenomenal timing. There was a play on Havana I remember seeing right towards the end of the first point on attack, where I saw Tayo kind of waiting. He had EMP, he was just kind of chilling in the back. I'm like, what is he waiting for? He's like, they're all right there. You see all of them. Like, even you see both supports as well, so you're not like having a Lucio hiding for the beat or anything like that. I'm like, why is he waiting? And then eventually he hits it, and then literally like a split second, like DCOD's like on the backline. I'm like, oh, that's why. And sure enough, like the whole backline gets decimated super quick. So I think specifically the coordination between Tayo and DCOD was somewhat similar to, you know, Gesture and Prophet back in the day with, you know, the Tracer Winston dives, but in this case it's a Sombra Winston dive. So yeah. I think that coordination between your DPS and your main tank is huge in this comp. Definitely some great play from the two of them here.
Yeah,
and then
real quick,
oh, go ahead.
Talking more about DCOD, he, like, everybody knows DCOD as, you know, the super aggro Viking Reinhardt who charges and just swings the hammer. But him playing Winston today, well, in this matchup and in later matchups, just absolutely nuts. Like, constantly focusing the backline. There's a moment on downtown, crap, what's the map name now? With Mecha
Base. Busan?
Busan. Downtown Busan, where he comes up over the top, isolates the two supports, throws Aphox off of the map, almost gets Ultraviolet also.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
And then just hunts him down and finishes him with the Tesla cannon around the corner as Ultraviolet's trying to get away. Just absolutely... Oh, I'm down here talking about the Team Doge. My note up top was isolating supports in the back line on Havana attacking Winston.
Yeah.
Because he did it in both matches. I was reading the wrong note here. DCOD is one of those tanks where it's like, why is he still sitting down in contenders? This dude is super smart. He's like, all he plays is main tank. Just watching him play on Monkey in these matches I watched today, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Now you know what I'm going to say about DCOD against Team Doge.
I think if you are the London Spitfire and you're like, you know what, screw it, screw doing the Korean team thing, we want to get like a localization team, we want to have some more, you know, EU players, I think you build a team around Onigod, Kefster, DCOD.
Oh.
That's a sick team, dude. You could take Finzi, you could take... you could take Iced or Icy. I think it's Icy. and you have a absolute sick roster. It's icy, yeah.
Yep.
This oh my gosh, like there's so much good EU talent playing in NA. You also do have EU players on British Hurricane as well. I think there's a case you can make if you took the EU players playing in NA right now and placed them against British Hurricane, it would be one heck of a match.
Yeah.
But I think D-Cut in particular is a player that since last night's leftovers, the guy has not had a bad performance. He has been consistently like one of the best players on any team he has been on. Big plays on Reinhardt, big plays on Winston, big plays on Wrecking Ball, big plays on Orisa. I think this guy in particular, he needs to be looked at a little bit more by these coaches and GMs of Overwatch League teams because this guy is consistently good.
Yes.
Elris as well on Third Impact. A lot of good plays here, specifically on Ana building the nano every fight, allowing him, allowing DCOD to get, you know, even higher value dives. And then on the side of Second Wind, some positive notes here for Ultraviolet, specifically when using the Baptiste with the immortality field, denying value from gravitic flux. It's a thing that you see a lot of players needing to do. It's kind of like an if-then statement here. If you have a gravitic flux up, you need to save your immortality field. Drop that as soon as you get picked up, and you save your whole team. So doing what you need to do, always good to see from Second Wind. But in the end, it was Third Impact who just was better.
Yeah. And for Second Wind, one of the best moments comes off of one of Third Impact's coolest moments on Anubis. Anubis A... Third Impact defense was nuts. You had Tayo playing the Sombra, and they had kind of this three-way ping pong where DCOD would drop off of the high ground onto the point to stop progress, and then when he started to get low, he'd jump back up, and then why am I drawing a blank on the off tank for Third Impact right now?
Icy
would swoop. Well, he wouldn't swoop. He would just jump off of the edge on D.Va, take as much and eat as much with the defense matrix as he could, and then jump back up to the top. And then Tayo would unstealth on the point to stop progress, and then translocate away, and then the cycle would restart. And the fight lasted almost, like, I think there was three total fights with that style from Third Impact. And it lasted all the way into overtime, where Second Wind was able to finally break through. They stagger Icy, just absolutely brutal, and then walk onto the point and just shut everyone down and take the point in literally however long it takes to go from 0 to 100 on the timer for 2CP, it basically was it, because Third Impact, I don't think, touched it but like maybe twice, and it was just a quick touch, and then the player was dead because they staggered everybody so insanely perfect. It was one of the best 0.2 takes I've seen in Contenders in probably the three seasons we've been watching.
Yep, and then moving into our final matchup here, Third Impact Team Doge with a very interesting 3-0 for Third Impact over Team Doge. This was a bit of a weird one.
It's weird. Yeah.
Team Doge was previously like either smashing or like narrowly losing. When did they get knocked out? Oh, yeah, they got knocked out by Third Impact in week two as well. One week three, and then week four, they got 3-0'd in the grand finals. So Third Impact, kind of the Achilles heel of Team Doge we've seen. On the side of Team Doge, one of the things I did notice, specifically on Mecha Base for Busan, Kevster's flanks on Ekka were much more punished by Third Impact. You saw him in the back line, and then immediately the whole team turned, like, what are you doing up there, bud? And then Razor was able to, you know, hit the laser beam. You had Zen Orb on him. You had just a lot of quick countering of Kevster, kind of shutting him down and making him not really able to have the effect that he's had in previous matches. Mm-hmm. Oni got as well. Big plays on the Tracer, some big pulse bombs, good picks, good 2Ks here and there. When we saw him on the Widow, I don't know if that was just him not hitting shots. I think it's more so that the tank line and Kevster weren't really able to have much point presence to force positioning errors to give Oni God many shots, but the Widowmaker did nothing for him on Havana. And then on Havana as well, when Razor had switched to the Hanzo, the Team Doge was kind of hiding on one of the sides outside the gate on the little fortress. Dragon Strike got like a 3K after they broke the immortality field. Just some positioning errors, some sloppy plays, some sloppy flanks here. Kind of just no longer looked like the dominant, incredibly crisp and clean performance that we've seen. But luckily they still had enough points to have a pretty good placing in the playoffs. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Flip side for Third Impact. I'd mention it again. I'm going to mention in the past. I'm going to mention it again. Tayo, great Tracer play, great Ashe play. Super talented player, as well as this kind of never say die mentality on Mecha Base. That was this long fight that you kind of just, it was like in animes or in like Harry Potter, when you've got the two beams shooting each other and they're kind of going back and forth, left and right, left and right, and eventually the good guy's beam is, you know, a little bit stronger and pushes towards the enemy, and eventually it hits them and then they explode. It was very much one of those types of fights where you kind of saw the coordination come together, the target focus. You get one pick, you get two picks. You'd lose one, but you'd take two, and you'd lose one more, but you'd take two more, and then you've got the numbers advantage. It definitely kind of came down to that, and it looked really good from them. They were able to take the 2-0 on Busan. Just great play from Third Impact here.
Yeah,
Third Impact. You have a note for Decon here.
Yeah, that was the one where I just said that he was playing Hunter, knocking AFOX off downtown.
Yeah.
And then, like, he was just constantly in the back line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Like, when you've originally, his avatar is him in, like, it's a cartoon of him in Reinhardt's armor. Because literally, before, I think, this season, we never saw him on anything other than Reinhardt. Like, occasionally the Orisa when Reinhardt wasn't meta, but he wasn't playing that at the same level. Now he's playing multiple tanks at probably the same, maybe higher level at times than his Reinhardt. Decod just fantastic for Third Impact. Yeah, just Third Impact looked way more coordinated and focused when it came to this matchup against Team Doge. Doge is Triumph's Achilles heel, and Third Impact has Team Doge's number, and apparently it's zero. So
yeah. And then last big note here, we mentioned previously that Razor's ult were out of sync with the team. That hadn't changed. That wasn't fixed in this matchup. But what did change is that Razor, I remember on King's Row, specifically on the third point, he came around the corner, got a sticky bomb pick, got a laser kill, then another sticky bomb kill, and then I think Icy cleaned up the other two.
See, and that's the thing.
I think
that's the thing with Razor is on the Echo, he can do great playing with the primary abilities.
It's
just the ult usage that's super weird with him. Like, Yeah. He's filthy.
And I think that that's a thing that will change with time if mm-hmm. he continues to play with this roster, which I'm hoping that they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. Revival doesn't need him for a while. Third Impact is in playoffs, as we'll talk about here in a minute. I think that this is an issue that will, like, with good coaching, and I think Third Impact has some decent coaching. They have Bai, Zenith, and Sword, who have been quite talented. I'm pretty sure Zenith was on Montreal, and Sword actually was on LNL for a while, and then Blank. So two talented coaches here should be able to kind of work out these little issues here. And then you have not only players got great mechanics, but also great coordination. There's only upsides to this at this moment.
Yep. So after week four was done, we knew where everybody was sitting, except for eighth place, because there was a five-way tie where they had to have a special tournament to figure out who was actually going to take that spot. So I'm going to run through the tiebreaker tournament, which I watched at work. Don't tell my bosses. three teams got byes because of their record against the other teams in this bracket. So Uprising Academy, Hype Unit, and Dark Mode Esports all automatically moved on to the semifinals. So that set up an Uprising Academy versus Hype Unit semi, and then a Dark Mode waiting for the winner of Revival versus Noble. Noble takes the matchup over Revival 2-1, which gives us the Noble versus Dark Mode. Noble takes that 2-1, and then Hype Unit beats the Uprising Academy 2-0, sending Noble all the way. Noble's the only one that played
three matches
that made it to the end. Which their two matches went the distance because this whole tournament was
a first to two.
Yep, it was first to two, and it was all Koth. So there was no way you could tie. Like at max, there was three maps you were gonna play. Like they said, we want to make sure that this doesn't take any longer than it needs to. You're gonna play Koth. So Noble played almost the max amount of maps you could play. They missed out on one because they 2-0 Hype Unit in the finals to go on and take the eighth seed in the playoffs bracket, which means they had to play Third Impact in the first round.
As well, there was a fifth seed tiebreaker as well. Triumph did the same against Saints, so Saints got knocked out as well. Or not knocked out, but placed better.
Yeah.
Or worse than Triumph. So we should really quick just burn through these week four results for EU and KR. I'll take Korea if you want to take EU.
All right. So we got Dreadlords falling to Samsung Morningstars 3-1. Shoes Money Crew beat out Chaos Insurgency 3-0. Ex Oblivion beats HSL Esports 3-0. And Raspberry Racers beat Roar Esports 3-1. British Hurricane doing British Hurricane things, 3-0 Samsung Morningstars. Disaster beat out Shoes Money Crew EU 3-1. Young and Beautiful beat Ex Oblivion 3-0. Sheer Cult fall to Raspberry Racers 3-1. British Hurricane beating Disaster 3-0. Young and Beautiful beating Raspberry Racers 3-1. Set up the final, British Hurricane versus Young and Beautiful. Goes the distance, British Hurricane, for the fourth week in a row, win out 3-2. I think the only team to go perfect in this season of contenders.
Yep. On the Korean side, we've got Runaway taking out Meta Athena 3-0. Oz Gaming taking out Team BM 3-1. WGS Phoenix knocking out T1 3-0. And then Lucky Future taking out Top Honor 3-0 as well. Top Honor had a great run and kind of just have fallen off now. Runaway comes in, faces Badlica, takes them out 3-0. O2 Blast takes out Oz Gaming 3-0. WGS Phoenix destroys Element Mystic in a very close 3-2. Lucky Future takes out Gen G 3-1, leaving the semifinals of Runaway, O2 Blast, in which Runaway takes 3-1. And then WGS Phoenix takes out Lucky Future in a dominant 3-0. WGS Phoenix then goes on to face Runaway, in which they beat Runaway 3-1. I had to look up who WGS Phoenix was because I don't remember many of the players on there. We've got Patafan, we've got Muse, we've got Gabe Olsi, a couple of players that I remember from other teams here. But taking out Runaway is impressive to say the least, considering that Runaway is, you know, got Mag, got Flower, got Assassin and Chio and Revenge and quite a talented roster here.
Yeah, I mean, they went through some pretty big names. They beat T1, they beat Element mm-hmm. Mystic, you know, Lucky Future, which is essentially Overwatch League retirement home, and then Runaway. Like, well done. That's a heck of a roster or a set of teams to beat there. So mm-hmm. we've got NA playoffs. The quarterfinals have already been played for NA. So I'm going to run through this, and then I'll let you grab EU, and then I think we got a pretty big one on Korea down there.
Yep.
So the quarterfinals, we've got Third Impact. Like I said, going up against Noble, who, you know, did their thing to take that eighth spot. Third Impact 3-0. It was pretty brutal. Triumph 3-0. Karasuno. Saints falling to Second Wind 3-1. And Team Doge beating Square One, and I'm pretty sure that I saw that they had beat
the
Square
fastest
One
new Bonnie time ever in any pro match
and 11 seconds. I don't even know how that's possible.
I want to go back and watch that. That's wild.
I think that's what Chu said on Twitter mm-hmm. was a minute and 11.
It was confirmed by Captain Planet, I believe, or yes. Matt Mercell.
In Overwatch professional play, not the Overwatch League, not like in all of Overwatch professional play, this is the fastest time. It was disgusting. The whole series, I think, took 23 and a half minutes.
Oof.
Three matches, 23 minutes.
Wow.
Nuts. So then that sends Noble down to face off against Karasuno, Square One to face off against Saints in the lower bracket. And that sets up Third Impact versus Triumph and Team Doge versus Second Wind. Next weekend, I believe we get the Third Impact.
I think we get Third Impact, Triumph, Doge, Second Wind, right? Or do we get lower brackets?
Actually,
you can probably just check right now.
Got it up. Let me just click playoffs.
4 days for the lower bracket, and then 6 days for the semifinals upper bracket. So we'll get lower bracket first, and we'll cover that. Actually, we'll be able to cover both.
Yep.
Which is good. We'll cover all four matches.
Yep. We get all four matches. June 4th for the lower bracket, June 5th for the upper bracket. So that's good.
Yep. This should be super interesting. I feel like it's going to go Third Impact Doge there, as well as Karasuno Saints, probably for the lower bracket. That's what I would guess.
I think the lower bracket's the only place I disagree with you. I think Karasuno Square One.
Okay. There. That's fine.
I think Square One's going to take that one.
Okay. Even after they got completely bodied by Doge?
But it's Doge.
That's true. Over in EU, we've got a very similar bracket format. The exact number, same number of teams, games played. I'm going to actually switch this up here and just read it from the site so I have the lower bracket as well. You've got British Hurricane taking out Raspberry Racers 3-1. Shoes Money Crew taking out Disaster in a very close 3-2. Leaving British Hurricane and Shoes Money Crew as in a kind of rematch of what happened in the earlier bracket, I believe. I got confused. They did not play previously. So then you've also got Samsung Morningstars falling to Young and Beautiful, and X Oblivion taking out Sheer Cold. So you've got Young and Beautiful, X Oblivion in semifinals. Lower bracket, you've got Raspberry Racers versus Disaster, and Samsung Morningstars versus Sheer Cold.
And then over in Korea, we got a little bit more of the bracket done here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got O2 Blast beating Lucky Future 3-0, Battalica beating Element Mystic 3-2, WGS beating Gen G Esports 3-1, and then T1 falling to Runaway. So that sets up in the The semis. No. Yes. Wait.
What?
What round is that? It's not the semis.
It is. I believe. It's quarterfinals is was O2 Blast, oh, yeah. Battleica, and then WGS Runaway, then and then
the,
semis.
The winners finals and then the grand finals. That's where I was getting mixed up.
Yeah.
So yeah, in the semis it's O2 versus Battleica, and then WGS, or I'm sorry, O2 Blast beats Battleica 3-2. WGS Phoenix beats Runaway again, this time 3-0, setting up an O2 Blast versus WGS Phoenix. So down in the lower bracket, Lucky Future falls to Element Mystic, and Gen G beats T1, giving us Runaway versus Element Mystic and Battleica versus Gen G, and those matches are coming up this week.
A lot of matches to cover, but one thing I did want to note is, boy, I'm glad that the playoffs first round were all stinker matches,
yes,
because we couldn't cover them this week, and now we have actual good matches to cover this next week, so we will start bringing you matches as they come up. Probably trying to get a little bit more coverage because I think we'll have a little bit less, but we still have 4 matches to cover for NA this week.
Yep.
That'll be rough. I would love to cover some of these Korean matches. Maybe we'll take advantage of the spaced out schedule and start kind of revisiting older matches as well. We did talk to Shrug at the start of this match. We're thinking that this is going to my cat's freaking out in the background.
Yeah.
This show match between Runaway and Lunatic High will be considered to be under our domains. We will try to cover that when we can, but it probably won't be right after it comes up. I think it will just be a fun match to kind of cover as it as we get some downtime.
Yep, because more than likely, once the playoffs are done, we're probably going to have nothing going on for at least a little while. They're going to have to do a whole nother open division run, and we know that when they do that, we've got about a month and a half of no trials, no contenders, anything like that. So nothing is broadcasted. So we'll have some downtime, and we'll go into some of these more.
Do some interviews, do some top lists, check in on our rookies of the year, cover some matches that we couldn't watch. Maybe if we haven't watched the KR playoffs, we'll do that and kind of just cover everything a little bit more, spread things out a little bit, so we don't have to keep up on it as much and watch like 12 matches in a week.
Yes, because there's currently a lot. Like, if you actually watched all of the contenders during the times that they're on, like, you could basically
this last
watch
week we would have had like
all day long
20 games.
Yeah,
we had a lot of games.
There's a lot. So I mean, unless the lower bracket for NA is just absolutely just 3-0 quicks that's not even worth covering, maybe we pick up something from Korea to throw in. So we'll see. Let's take a look.
We'll sprinkle it up. We'll try to spread it out and kind of get some more coverage again.
Yep. Actually, let me. Oh, that's perfect. It's the 4th and the 5th. But I think that's everything.
Yeah.
We did right about an hour. That's perfect timing. So, Kyle, can they find you on the internet?
You can find me basically Twitter, Kyle the Winner on Twitter, and then the Heinen Podcast Discord. Chatting there. We've got a little bit of a lull in Overwatch League games, so come through, chat about contenders with us, and enter that giveaway, man. Enter the giveaway, anyone who's listening who's not already signed up. I think that's why we got some new followers recently.
Yep.
So definitely join the giveaway. Tell your friends about it. Win some stuff.
And there's a daily check-in point. If you didn't realize, you can go back every day and get a point to go towards winning one of those 3 prizes. So make sure you come back. Set a reminder. Hit that button. You can find me over on Twitter at ThornRain. When I do any type of streaming, I do it right here on the Blackwatch Report Twitch channel. But if you're an audio listener, head over to Twitch, create a free account, hit that follow button. We'll give you a shout out like we did all of those people that we shouted out at the beginning of the show. And it's one of the things that gets you points. So if you're going to follow on Twitch, you might as well go sign up to win a jersey. If you happen to have Amazon Prime, that means you have Twitch Prime. Hit that subscribe button. We do really appreciate it. But if you want to help out completely free, leave us a review. 1 star, 5 star. We read all of them. We haven't gotten one in a while. Like to know what you guys think. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. We'll read it out on the show. We'll give you your proper shout out. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. There's no O in that report. Email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com, and follow the show right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesdays, typically when I'm not working second shift, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, at least for the next 3 weeks, and then I'm done. Our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com and come and chat with all of the hosts on that Discord that Kyle was talking about at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.